Waiting, waiting, waiting. Waiting for Ben to pick up the phone. Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
What's up?
Well, I'm recording in the space that we will eventually be recording our other stuff in. And one thing I've noticed, like, I can hear road sounds from where I'm at in here, which might be bad.
Oh, I see what's going on. You personally are hearing road sounds, but that's not something you've heard in the, as you've listened to the podcast?
Well, I've never recorded the podcast from in here
before.
This is the space where we're going to be recording, audio.
Oh, I see.
For the show.
Ah.
And there's a window here. It's a small window, but I feel as though it might actually...
That could be a consideration if you are recording into a reality that does not have passing cars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, it is still... Here's the thing, though. I have become much more sensitive to sound over the past week.
And why is that?
As I've started recording like little audio clips and stuff like that.
Right.
So...
You're paying attention to the clarity of the audio.
Yeah, and I don't know. This is
man.
This is right outside.
Welcome to my world. There's nothing more frustrating than setting up a shot somewhere around Seattle and getting ready, and then having to hold because a plane is flying overhead.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna be quiet for just a second.
Oh, riveting.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I don't know.
Why did you...
We'll have to think about that.
Don't pick the front room to use as your studio. Go to, the back of the house. Or like, this... Do you have a closet in the middle of the house that you can get, like, a walk-in closet or something?
Well, that's the thing is that we're going to have, like, up to four people at a time recording... Which is an issue. This is like the smallest place that will still fit all of them.
Right.
And if it weren't for, like I said, if it weren't for this, I think it's the window. I think that maybe if I get a big piece of foam and cover it,
foam will work, or a big like moving blanket and just put it up on the wall to cover the window. It's not just the window, but I mean, car sounds do come through walls.
Yeah.
And you know, every once in a while you get that person who thinks that the louder the car, the better, or a motorcyclist who wants to break every decibel record with his exhaust.
Exactly. So yeah, other than that, you know, things are going all right.
When do you start recording? Are we gonna hear something soon?
Well, have you obviously, Ben, you haven't looked at the site.
No, you're right, I haven't. Is there something there to look at?
There's a thing up there. It is like a first little test kind of.
Okay.
For stuff. It's part of we have a couple of different avenues. This is part of the one called Tin Can, which is about people in space.
Right.
And it's a short little bit. Short little thing.
You're going to have to remind our listeners of that, of the website to visit.
Oh, yeah. Well, our listeners can go to maladaptive.podbean.com and take a look at what's up there.
All right.
Which, at the time of this recording, is a very short experimental... piece, just trying to get all the parts working.
All right, we love. I read a book experimental pieces.
Yeah. I saw I saw a book, Ben. You won't believe it.
Did you see it with your eyes?
I did. I used both of them.
Yeah.
No, there's a book on filmmaking. It talks about how a budding filmmaker, goes through all of the different stages that mankind went through the creation of film when they're making their first film. The first thing is just actually getting images on screen.
Right.
Like, that's the first step. And then after that, you get into, editing for narrative and then cinematography, all that kind of stuff.
It's certainly a learning experience. And, you know, a lot of people that I know have actually gone to school for that kind of thing. I, of course, have not gone to school for filmmaking at all, which is why everything I do looks like an amateur film.
Ben, you learned how to do film on the streets. That's the difference.
On the streets.
You didn't have no fancy book learning, Ben.
I got street smarts.
But you learn by doing it. Street smarts, yes. Street smarts for film. Oh, shoot. I'm looking at my paintings that I've got here. And would you believe...
I wouldn't.
My paintings are stuck together.
What?
Oh, my goodness. That's too bad.
Are they?
It here first.
Paintings that you painted or paintings that you just own?
Paintings that I painted were not, at one point in time, stuck together. They were just leaning together. Obviously, this is a bad thing to do to paintings. Do not stack them.
Yeah.
Together.
Well, you know, like the book I read says, you know, every budding painter goes through the stages of man's first time when they learn to paint.
Right.
And you got to learn. Right. Learn by doing, Paul. Don't stack your paintings.
So, anyway, yeah, it's been fun. What else? Lately, I've started keeping a dream journal.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty exciting. Rosh Hashanah is now.
Lashana Tova.
Jewish New Year happened last night at sundown.
So I hear.
Yeah. Somebody came to me at work to talk to me about it. And I had to say, oh yes, I am vaguely aware of this. I have, as my friend Ben has suggested, fallen off from studying Judaism quite quickly.
Did you at least eat your apples and honey?
You know, Ben, I'm not going to get into it. I would say the answer would be no. However, I did eat a jar of cookie dough peanut butter. Not a whole jar, just eat spoonfuls of jar, sweetened with honey. I had no apples. So,
yes, sir.
The basic thing about the dream journal, right?
Yeah.
There's a practice called dream yoga, and a guy at work does it.
Dream yoga. What is dream yoga?
Dream yoga. It's a thing that they do in India. And it's basically like lucid dreaming. There are similarities. It's not entirely right. And I explained to him, I was talking to him about lucid dreaming and how dream journals are like the first step. And he's like, what is lucid dream? I'm like, well, it's like you're asleep, but you know that you're asleep.
You know that you are dreaming.
And you know that you're dreaming. And he's like, oh, yeah, I do the same thing. And I was like, whoa, what? Yeah. And so we talked about it. And I came to realize that it's similar, but it's not the same. And I told him, this sounds to me a lot like other things that are prevalent in Western culture, which is, hey, check out this thing that I invented. Oh, this thing that's been around for 5,000 years?
Right.
Well, sort of, but my thing is different.
But I invented it, so I don't care that you already had it. I invented this.
So, Ben, you were in one of my dreams last night.
Oh, God, what was I doing?
Can you believe it?
Please, explain your dream in detail.
So I was... Hold on, wait. Are you being sarcastic? Because I'm going to anyway. Jennifer, sorry. Jennifer hates it when I explain dreams that I've had. And this will be really short. I'll keep it very short. You and I...
I'm cutting you off
I was in
seconds.
A city. I was in a city. You were in the city, too. And there were a whole bunch of people who were looking for you. Like a whole group of people.
Like an angry mob.
Walking through the city. No. They were like fans. Like, they were like super fans.
No.
And I was like, and they're like, we're looking for Ben Lawrence. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm looking for Ben too. I'll go with you guys. And so we're walking around and all this. And I was like, wait a second. I have Ben's number. I could just call him and ask him where he is. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. And then I went into an enclosure for buses. And I called you. And I said, hey, Ben, where are you? And you're like, oh, you know what? I'm just up and to the left of you. And so I went up this escalator and I went outside. I'm like, I don't see you. And I saw a sign that said Raven Meats, R-A-V-E-N Meats. And then I woke up. And that was pretty much it.
When I was in college, a bunch of friends of mine and I tried to do lucid dreaming. And I didn't do any research into it, but my friends did. And they discovered that if you take a certain B compound vitamin, I don't remember exactly which one it is right now, that assisted you in lucid dreaming. And we would try to do it. And one of the tricks to train yourself to recognize whether or not you are dreaming is to turn the light switch on and off. If you yes. are awake, the light will go on and off. If you are asleep, the light will not change.
May not change. That's the thing. Brains are tricky, Ben. There's another one where you hold your nose and you try to breathe in. And if you're asleep, you will be able to still breathe even if your nose held.
Yeah.
But again,
breathing underwater. Like, I have lots of dreams where I'm underwater and trying to hold my breath, and I think in reality, I am actually holding my breath, but then real me needs to breathe, so I breathe, but dream me is still underwater, so I'm like, well, this is weird. I'm breathing underwater. I better get to the surface soon or I'm going to drown.
Do you have that thing that happens to me sometimes? Ben, do you? No,
probably not.
Do you have that thing that happens to me sometimes where I'm like, oh, huh, that's weird. Normally, this only happens when I'm dreaming, but this time it's happening in real life. Yeah.
That happens all the time. And every time when that happens or something, some obvious dream trope is there, I wake up and I'm like, why couldn't I recognize that it was a dream? And take
Isn't
advantage
that
of it.
Interesting. Yeah, it's pretty weird, I have to say. So I have some tips that I've been doing. One of the big things is if you are asleep in your bed, right, that you can, they call it an impossible physical action. So the example that they gave is, let's say that you're in bed, and as we all know, I sleep in a chair, so it's different. But if you're in bed and you're lying on your back, imagine curling your hand into a fist. Now, you won't be able to if your palm is on the bed, because your fingers will be stopped by the mattress.
Right.
But if you're dreaming, you'll be able to do it. Stuff like that. Just little tricks.
I also heard that one of the reasons why it is hard to run in dreams is say, for instance, you're being chased by something. It's super hard to run for some reason.
Yes.
And one of the explanations of that was that your body, it does not have the feedback of actually running. So your brain doesn't know what to do because it's not getting this feedback of, like, I don't know, like ground rushing against your feet or whatever. But that's a common thing that happens to me. And it's not like I'm being chased by scary monsters or something. But, you know, every once in a while, inside a dream, you need to run away from something.
Sure, and it's hard. Of course.
I did have a really, really long dream. I'm not going to explain all of it right now. But
yeah.
I had one of those dreams where it's like I woke up and, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. And it feels like I'd been dreaming that one dream the entire night. And and it was actually I don't dream journal, but I did actually a couple nights ago. It still stuck with me. I can still remember it. I wrote it all down. Tried to incorporating as much detail as I could, but essentially I was in a plane. The plane got knocked down by a kaiju throwing a piece of building equipment at it, and we landed. and I helped get everybody out of the plane, and then we gathered up all the munitions in the plane to arm ourselves because we landed and there were zombies and vampires. And we had to fight the zombies and vampires. I mean, there was a lot more. This dream, in like, I don't know how long it lasted in real time, but in dream time, this dream was probably an hour long, you know, if that.
I have a hypothesis that I'm going to share with you.
Share it.
Now, you may have heard me say this before, but lots of times people are like, this dream seemed to take days.
Yeah.
You know, how is that possible? And so you get in like Inception, for instance, the idea that dream time is slower or whatever.
Exactly.
I have an alternate hypothesis, and that's that you dream for the exact same amount of time, but in your dreams, you have dream memories. So if you think back to where you were at, you know, earlier, you can remember that episode or that thing
right
in your dream. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So it actually, that's one of the things that is often confusing, because in dreams you were like, well, I remember this happening. I have memory of this. And like dream you has a history sometimes. You know, dream
yes,
you
exactly.
was like, oh yeah, I have this thing in my past that I'm acting, that is compelling me right now. And even though that thing in your past never actually happened.
Right, right. I'm pretty excited about how that stuff all worked out. And if you and the listener would like to go to paulgoody.wordpress.com and click on dreams, I have a whole bunch of like words that I made up that explain like dream concepts that I would use when I was journaling. I used to know them by heart, but now I don't. And so I have to kind of refer back to them.
You made up words to talk about
all sorts of concepts.
Dream concepts.
Like, the dream trying to make you still think that you're not dreaming.
Right.
There was a word for that.
Ah.
So I wouldn't have to write it every single time. I think that was called a dodge. And then there was something called burn, which was I believe burn means that you're almost lucid dreaming, and then something happens that just wakes you up in real life.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Just different terms for different things. The familiar stranger. You know, that thing where it's somebody that you know in the dream that's a good friend of yours, then you wake up and they don't exist at all.
Same thing with,
that
like,
kind of thing.
A place or a house. Like, this is the house I grew up in, but it's not, really.
Exactly.
Even though
tons of stuff like that.
I do have dreams that take place in the house I grew up in. Where
really?
I am as old as... Yeah, well, I mean, I'm as old as I am now, you know, in my dream. I'm 41, yet I'm at the house that I haven't lived in since I was 16.
The reason I ask that is because I have the exact same experience.
Yeah.
There are times when, the old church that my dad and I lived next to, and the rest of my family, it wasn't like some old church that my dad would sometimes.
Right.
Go, no, but, I have a dream that I'm in that church or in the old house. Mm. One way that I have become lucid in the past through fear was being in the basement of the old house where I used to live.
Oh, really?
Because I hated being in that basement.
Yeah.
And so I would force myself to go into... And then there was a pantry underneath that basement that was even scarier. And I would force myself in the dream to go into that pantry. Because this is one of the things that you can do. If you do stuff in the dream... And this is where it gets tricky.
They say
if you do stuff in a dream that you would never do in real life... You know, then you can break yourself out of it.
Right.
But if you're convinced that it's real life, how do you do that? You know what I mean? And I think about the guy who was naked walking down the street in Seattle. And I'm like, maybe he was trying to do something and it didn't work out for him.
I would rather,
the reason I bring it,
I would rather just test that theory by trying to turn a light switch on or off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and there's another one. That I've just now started, where you have a box, right?
Yeah.
And you have someone put something in the box, but don't tell you what it is. And then you put like a rubber band around the box.
and you spend your whole, like, waking life, right? Whenever you see the box, you go, man, I want to open that box. I'd just like to take that rubber band out and see what was inside of it. Because I don't know. But I'm not going to do it. Because I'm awake.
Right.
Right? And then eventually, they say, you'll have a dream where you're opening the box. And you'll think to yourself, oh, I wasn't supposed to open this box. Then you'll be like, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it works, but what I did, it's similar, but I have a notepad that I've taped shut that has stuff that Betty and Jennifer wrote on it.
Okay.
And if I open it, then I know that I'm dreaming.
It's your totem.
So,
as the case may be.
Yeah.
Going back to Inception.
Here's the thing is I like Inception. I thought it was fun. It's got a lot of things that I like in it. But Jennifer hates it. And so by extension, I see the problems in it now
You were pretty obsessed with that film for a while.
After it came out.
Yeah, you were.
I was, because it was right in my wheelhouse. Because I was doing dream research at the time that the thing came out. And this is me. I was like, well, you know, most of this stuff, actually, maybe it's, you know, it's similar. It's like someone read up on stuff and then just sort of made up a couple of things, you know. But the thing that I like, Existence, you remember that?
I haven't seen it.
Well, the thing that I like about that, and there is some of it going on in Inception also, kind of, if you, like, really think about it, is that when you get into the dream and then you go into another layer, all bets are off in that layer.
Right.
Like, in Existence, all the machines change and things like that.
Yeah.
Is Jennifer Jason Leigh in that movie?
I don't know.
I've never seen it. I want to say she is. Anyway.
I wouldn't know unless I looked it up, and of course that is against our rules here.
Hey, speaking about looking it up is against the rules, for those of you who haven't listened to this before, Ben and I have made a pact that we are not going to use Google for anything while we're recording the podcast.
We can use Bing, however, but not Google.
Well, no, we can't use Bing either. No search engines. We haven't talked about it, but no written reference materials either. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't go to an encyclopedia and look something
up. Right. No internet. No internet to look things up.
No internet. But also, if I had a Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, I see. Like an actual book.
Either.
Right.
Yeah.
Who has books? I got books of software.
What's that? Say it one more time.
I don't have any books here in the office, but I do have books of software. So if you ask me a question about After Effects, I could probably look it up. But only
no
up
questions about After
CS5.
Effects. So here's the basic issue. You and me, trying to live in a world where there's no external references. We have to use our memories only.
Right.
And because of that, we get a lot of things wrong. What happens when we get things wrong? Well, nothing. Unless you, the listener, write to us and tell us that what we got wrong, and more importantly, what the right answer is.
Well, not only do we get things wrong, but we also, I think we're now both conscious, at least I'm conscious, of just not saying anything I am not 100% sure of.
Yeah. Self-censorship, they call it.
Exactly.
Some people don't like it. I find it a good idea. So, we do have a listener, my wife, Jennifer Pratt. My wife. See, I didn't do the accent this. I'm getting better.
You're learning. Are you going
yeah.
through some coaching to get rid of that?
No. Just self-hypnosis.
Yeah.
So the basic thing is that she listens, and she actually does write to us at our email address for the show, which is Ben.
Ben's email at yahoo.com@gmail.com.
Ben's email at yahoo.com@gmail.com. Go ahead and write that and let us know if there's something wrong. And with that, we now
let us know if our lucid dreaming, anything in our lucid dreaming conversation was wrong or incorrect. You didn't dream that. That was a different dream.
Hey, man, sometimes I tell her about what I dream, so she might actually be able to correct something. this is what we like to call corrections. Ding.
All right.
What we got, Ben?
Number one, ice cream truck song. She says, A, again, Ben and I have the same experience. The Entertainer, written by Scott Joplin in 1902, was the song I was used to hearing from an ice cream truck. Yeah, that's a song that played on the ice cream trucks in Olympia, Washington.
Now, I know that Jennifer did live in Washington for a while, but I wonder if it's everywhere that she's lived, because she's moved around a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to ask her.
They probably don't have ice cream trucks in Germany, but maybe they do. Who's to say?
Maybe Germany invented the ice cream truck thousands of years before the Americans did, yet the Americans still claim ownership over it.
Another interesting thing about this room acoustics, Ben.
Yeah.
There is a drum here, and occasionally my voice hits the same resonance as the drum and makes it go.
Number so. B.
Yes.
And I realize B is a letter. Number B. B of all, Turkey in the Straw was written way before the offensive lyrics version appeared. I did not know that. Mr. Harry C. Brown, and she says the C is for, and I'm not going to repeat it here, recorded his, quote, a non-white person love a watermelon, end quote, in 1916, using the same tune.
Aha!
All news to me.
And thank you, Jennifer, for adhering to the don't write Ben the N-word.
I probably would not have said it had she actually written it.
And here's the thing. In one of the recorded versions of that song, there is a discussion at the beginning about how watermelon is as good or better than ice cream.
Really?
And that is why the fact that ice cream trucks play Turkey in the Straw, I thought, maybe was a reference to that song. But now that she said Turkey in the Straw was written beforehand, maybe the song was written in response to ice cream trucks.
She goes on to say a silly song was co-opted by Mr. Brown, and now it's racist forever, even though no one actually knows the racist lyrics, just the silly ones. Why not? And yes. Number two, of course, we love to speculate about the prices of housing in Seattle. And she says the median in-house price in Seattle is $722,000. I think I theorized that it was, you know, was approaching $1 million. So
yes,
I was not wrong. Well, it is approaching $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's true.
I was way off, but I was, you know, I was on the right track.
If it was $250,000 and then became $300,000, it would still be approaching $1 million.
Exactly.
But
if it was $1 and then became $2,
it is approaching $1 million. Yes,
I'm rounding up.
But you're saying it's getting kind of close.
It's getting there, and it shows no signs of slowing.
Yes.
And that is all for corrections.
Hey, all right. Well, once again, I'm sure that we will seed the next batch of corrections with some wrong stuff. Just you wait.
Hey.
Oh, hey, by the way, National Train Day 2008, there's a whistle that I have.
Choo-choo.
Listen to this. That is some...
Oh, is that what's written on the whistle is National Train Day 2008?
It is.
Were you at an event?
Midland whistling. I believe that Betty and I got this when we rode on an Amtrak. Betty specifically got this.
Ah, yeah. Because they don't generally give the children's toys to the adults.
Yeah. Although sometimes I ask for them. Speaking of asking for it, hey, Twin Peaks.
Oh, God.
As we have mentioned, I am going to Reddit every once in a while looking at the Twin Peaks board.
Has it ended? And is it over?
Yeah, it is over.
Okay.
I am surprised at the people
who are upset that the ending for Twin Peaks is...
was the way it was?
Not satisfying.
Really?
Yeah.
Have they met David Lynch? Well,
yeah, it was David Lynch. Like, maybe they assumed that Mark Frost would, like, you know, rein him in or something.
Yeah.
But, come on, man.
Who knows? Who the F knows?
And I'm not going to spoil the ending for anybody, but, you know, it's David Lynch. Come on.
Yeah.
What do you want?
In good TV news, I saw that BoJack Horseman was Netflix approved season 5. Which is nice. I haven't seen season 4 yet. I've seen the first 2 episodes here at the theater, but that was at the end of a long night, so I'm probably going to have to revisit them again when I'm at home.
Gotcha.
And able to concentrate.
Yep. Oh, and just to clarify, Twin Peaks, good TV. I enjoyed it. I had a very nice time. Don't want to give the impression that I was complaining about it.
You were not dissatisfied with the ending?
I was not dissatisfied. Okay. I thought it was fine television. But then again, like I said, I kind of knew what I was in for.
Yeah. You should and know so, what you're in for when you watch a David Lynch property.
Exactly. That's right. What was I? I went to the beach and there was water and sand everywhere. couldn't stand it, you know, that sort of thing. It was incomprehensible, sometimes boring, also maybe gratuitously. Oh God, Ben, you say it. I can't.
Gratuitously.
I lost it.
Gratuitously.
Yes. Maybe it was that. I don't know, violent or whatever. Who knows?
Sex and violence.
You know, violence is weird, Ben. You know why? Because I don't like it, right? But I love it sometimes. Like, I love watching something get destroyed. Well, but other times,
yeah,
I'm very sad about something.
I mean,
getting destroyed.
There's the whole, I think you mentioned in terms of the Archer comic or Archer TV show, there's the sort of consequence-free aspect of violence. Like I can watch like a disaster porn movie and see entire cities get demolished and I'm like, all right, that's great. But then I see like footage from the recent earthquake in Mexico City and a building fall down and I'm like, oh no, it's terrible. So it's the whole if it's like an abstract or an absurd sense of violence, then that can be fun.
Yeah, like Army of Darkness, man.
Exactly. Horror movies are crazy. A great example.
Yes. Hey, speaking of which, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
My friend Andy, who we've spoken to before on the podcast, did see it. And he said that he thinks I would like it. His review, if I may share it.
Sure.
No spoilers, but... it wasn't as scary as he thought it would be as far as a monster film goes.
Right.
But the concepts that are presented are scary.
Right.
So that was kind of cool.
Did you ever see the ABC miniseries from, what was it, 1990?
I saw bits of it.
Yeah.
I didn't see the whole thing.
I saw it because I had that came out like right when I was in my big I gotta read everything by Stephen King phase. And
right.
So, but the problem, you know, with adapting one of Stephen King's properties for an ABC movie of the night is that it's ABC movie of the night. So they have to really, really sort of sanitize it for a family-friendly viewing. So parts of it are pretty absurd. So I'm looking forward to seeing the new version with it, with Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise.
And from what I understand, he's 6'4 years old. He's 6'4 and 27 years old. 27.
Yeah.
Because of the book.
Well, I mean, of course, you know that Pennywise.
This is 27 years.
Yeah, Pennywise appears every 27 years. The first Tim Curry's Pennywise was in 1990. What year is it now? 2017.
Uh-huh. Look at that.
Yeah.
So, the other thing I was going to say about that, um,
from what I understand, he's in talks to reprise his role in the next chapter. So I thought that this one takes place. Oh, no, that's right. It takes place in the 90s. That's right. This one takes place in the 90s. No. So they will be able to do it. Okay.
No, it takes place in the 80s, apparently.
Oh, 80. Well, I think 89.
In the book.
I want to say.
In the book, still the 80s. In the book, it was the 50s. And so they've modernized it. And one of the actors.
I'm pretty sure 1989 was the 90s, Ben. I know it sounds weird.
One of the actors is Finn Wolfhard, who was in the Netflix show Stranger Things, which also is like a 1980s nostalgia.
Yeah, yeah. Piece. Who was he in Stranger Things?
He was like the main dude. He was Mike. Was that his name? I don't remember his character.
The one who kind of falls in love with Eleven?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That dude?
The main dude disappear. Didn't go to the Upside Down.
Yep.
Yeah, so the book is both the main characters as kids and as adults, and apparently this whole movie is just them as a kid, so I'd like to... So, the next chapter will probably be them as adults.
Which would be, you know, a possible star-studded affair. Who knows? It could be possible.
Right.
Adults.
Well, I don't think they're waiting for 27 years to produce the sequel.
So. That's right. Because from what I understand, Mr. Skarsgård already in talks.
Yeah.
Okay, so talking a little bit about Stephen King... I've been watching some of, what is it called? It's 1122, sorry. 1122, 922 is tomorrow. 1122,
63. Yeah. Is that a Stephen King adaptation?
And I kind of...
I haven't heard of it.
Andy recommended it to me, I mean, it's all right, but it's one of those things where if I watch something that I like a lot, it kind of ruins all their TV for me for a while.
Is it? So, really? Is it? So it's a TV show?
Yeah, on Hulu.
Ah, gotcha.
And I watch it going, why didn't David Lynch direct this? Which, you know, is unfair.
So you're digging it from what it sounds like.
What? The
11, 22, 63.
It's in my wheelhouse. I like time travel stuff.
Yeah.
And there's some things that are kind of cool. But again, it's, I don't know. There's something about, and I hate to say it because I'm treading lightly because I kind of like him. And I can't think of his name. He was, He played the Green Goblin in like the original Spider-Man things. Not Willem Dafoe, but the Green Goblin's kid. Sorry.
James Franco.
James Franco. There's something about James Franco that rubs me the wrong way sometimes. And it's nothing to do with him necessarily. It's like sometimes he's not a bad actor. Sometimes he transcends the role that he's doing, and I'm like, there's James Franco doing a thing that's sort of like that. I can't really describe it.
So you don't see the character, you see the actor doing the character?
Exactly. Exactly. And the movie version of The Disaster Artist, I think, is going to work for me. Because there, him doing this other character
right.
is like part of the fun,
yeah.
I guess. And this one, it's a little... I don't know. It's hard for me to deal with.
A little too sincere for you.
Right. I know it's a personal problem is what I'm saying. And so I'm still giving it time.
It's not widespread.
You and I both, I bet you, have read The Tommyknockers.
Oh, man. It's been years. But yeah, I've read that.
And in one of the things, this is where I learned that people besides me dream that they're pulling their teeth out.
Yeah.
Because it's mentioned. Stephen King mentions it in the thing. And I'm like, whoa, I do that. And then I talked to somebody else about it. They're like, yeah, I do that too. And now it's just common knowledge. Well, you can look it up on the internet or whatever, and they'll tell you.
Yeah,
but at the time, That was news to me.
I don't dream that I pull my teeth out, but I do dream that my teeth are falling out and I try to push them back in.
Yeah. That's kind of what I mean. I had a dream recently, before I started journaling, but it still happened, where not only were my teeth coming out, they were coming out and they were like chalk-like, like breaking apart and like cracking and stuff, but like crumbling in my mouth. And then these metal, the only way I can describe them is, you know those dental plates that they put in when they take impressions of you? Of your teeth?
Yeah,
have
I
you
think
ever
so.
Seen those?
I don't know if I've seen it. I've had fillings done, but so I think...
These metal things just fell out of my mouth. So not only my teeth, but I had these metal, like, sheets in my mouth.
Yeah. It
was nuts.
There's a strange thing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me, but about my mouth in dreams. Like, I have teeth falling out, and I think that's just a manifestation of not wanting to lose my teeth at an inopportune moment. There's an opportune moment for that, but I also have this.
Now would be a good time for me to lose my teeth.
I also have this dream that I'm chewing bubble, and I don't chew bubble gum, but I'm chewing bubble gum, and I'm chewing a lot of bubble. Like my mouth is full. Like I've just eaten like an entire pouch of Big League Chew, and I'm trying to get to get the gum out of my mouth, and I can't.
Big League Chew. Now there's something, isn't it? A gum that's meant to simulate.
Yeah.
Chewing tobacco. That's so weird.
Yeah,
but...
invented by a ball player. But I was it's one of those things that came around along with candy cigarettes, where sort of like, you know, trying to hook them early.
Exactly.
And with chaw and cigarettes, just make a Big League chew bubble gum that looks like tobacco. Well, it doesn't look like tobacco at all, but you know.
Now I need to know this, because there are two different ways that this ball player could have invented this. He could have invented it. He's like, get him started early. He could have invented like, I promised I would stop chewing tobacco, so I've made this gum that I now chew.
I don't remember what it is, and if I have my name right, I think it was Jim Boughton, because he wrote a book called Ball 4, which I did read, and I think it's him. But I don't remember the impetus behind inventing the gum. Something I may want to look up, or maybe I'll just wait until next week. But yeah,
hey, you might know this ball player. Hey, we're talking about sports, second time in a row.
Hey.
I heard something that was kind of great, actually. He was a pitcher, a famous pitcher. Maybe he retired recently or died recently, one of the two. But he did this thing one time where he wanted to hit someone with a baseball really, really badly, right?
Okay.
And so all the way through the warm-up, you know, when he's practicing all this kind of stuff, he's throwing badly,
intentionally,
on purpose,
yeah,
so that the umpires see him throwing badly on purpose, so that when he hits this guy,
they just think it's an accident.
They think it's an accident because he's been bad all
right
day. Do you have any idea who that ball player was?
I don't. I don't ever remember
Michael Dukakis.
This story.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know either.
I've never heard the story. Fidel Castro.
I heard it on the radio, and I did not mark the name of the guy who said it, but I thought it was great. I was like, if there were more intrigue in baseball.
I don't know. I mean, the thing about hitters with the ball, there's you know, an unwritten retaliation rule. So I don't think this pitcher was aiming for this one guy at obviously not at random. So if this pitcher hit the ball, chances are everybody knew why.
Yeah.
Unless it was an off the field thing, right? Unless it was like a personal thing, like the hitter slept with the pitcher's wife or something like that.
But if
this hitter like hit three home runs off this pitcher the, you know, 5 days before, then everybody knows why this guy's getting beaned.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but that's oh man, Ben, this is driving me nuts.
Don't look it up.
I think it's
don't do it.
I think it's a drum, but it could be. No, there's a metal rack. I don't think it's the rack.
Oh, so, oh, oh something.
Is it? Oh, maybe it's this one.
Something's reverberating.
Yeah, and the guitar is it? I have a lot of musical instruments in here, so any one of them might be the reverberation.
You have quite a few musical instruments.
Oh, man. And I was thinking about this the other day. Someone who shall remain nameless, a person that you may know, a person that I do know, just burned through a whole bunch of money very quickly. And the story was said about this person that they were shopping. They were doing a lot of online shopping.
Yeah.
Buying things and then just not even opening.
Yeah.
Or opening the thing, looking at it, and then just leaving it.
Yeah.
And not
that's
doing
a weird compulsion.
And I was thinking about, have I ever had a compulsion like that? And I realized that when I was buying musical equipment, there was a period of time where I would do that, where I would buy something. But the thing is, I had an intention to use it.
Right, right.
I'm moving this drum. I'm moving the drum to a lower location.
You hear that a lot, though, when the story comes out that somebody has, say, embezzled a bunch of money from the dental practice.
Sorry, Ben.
I'm just going to cut that
out. You're
going
to hear this.
When somebody embezzles a bunch of money from the dental practice that they work in. They just go on these shopping sprees, and so stories come out like, you know, their garage was full of like 3 jet skis and a new car and all this fancy stuff still in the box.
Yeah,
it's weird. This need from people to just go out and just buy whatever they can just because they can.
All right, so if you've never tried to make a sound room before, here's my hint. Don't put drums on high... Oh, man, it's still doing it. Don't put drums on high shelves. Put them lower. That's step number one. Step number two, I think, is going to be...
Put something on the drum.
If you're... Put something on... I'm going to put another drum on the drum.
Well,
so that the two drums cancel each other out.
Not really how that works. But
put the drum upside down on top of the drum.
If they're not snared, just wrap them in towels.
Wrap you in towels. No, that doesn't work.
That won't shut me up. Ben. That'll just get me to scream even louder.
Hey, hold on. Let me out of these towels.
What do you ever wash these?
What is this, a tambourine? Oh, my gosh. So, anyway. I'm going to put this glove in here. There we go. It's a glove.
Going back to dreams one last time. Do you ever have...
I think I have fixed... the issue.
Do you ever have nightmares anymore?
Who, me? You know, that's a very interesting question. I'm always afraid to say that I don't have nightmares anymore.
For
just
fear.
Because my brain will
For
be like, oh.
That's what you think.
But no, I honestly do think that not having nightmares, right?
Yeah.
Is a skill. Does that make sense?
I don't
know. As you get older, you get better at maintaining.
Yeah.
And this is why I say this. I still have frightening images in my dreams.
Right.
Right? But I don't get scared.
I have
as much anymore.
I have scary situations in my dreams often, and a lot of times they involve like having to crawl through like dark caverns, think like the Paris catacombs, you know, but like smaller, where you have to crouch and like monsters or whatever at the very end of the hallway. But I've noticed that in my dreams, I've become more of a badass now than I used to be. Like, I will actively engage in fights in my dreams.
Yes.
Whereas
me also, Ben.
Yeah. Whereas they were also, you know, when I was a kid, they were scary and I would run away, but I don't. I wouldn't say that I have nightmares. I think I did talk to somebody once at one point, and she said that every single dream she had was an anxiety dream.
Oh,
and
wow.
I can't imagine that.
I will tell you this. You were saying that you're a badass in your dreams sometimes. I have dreams where not only am I a badass, but I am terrifying. where I not only hit someone, but then I proceed to dismantle them, like, right. Actually,
yeah,
you know,
is it
like I'm taking their head off of their body? Well, and, is and it, stuff like that,
is it an aggression, or is it like a retaliation for, is it because it's you, it's, or them, or is it you're just like your dream person is pumped up on roids and you have to just kill a random
it's
person?
It's not even that I'm pumped up. It really is this weird methodical, like, it is violent, there is, but it's this methodical dismembering of a person.
This is your true self, Paul Goody.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yay. Well, at least I'm not frightened of things anymore.
Yeah.
So,
but also, should I be worried?
That's the question, right? When I say that I don't have nightmares anymore, I don't wake up screaming, but I will wake up and then think about the dream I had and go, "What the heck just happened?"
Yeah.
You know, so that's something. Hey, wow. You know what time it is, Ben?
It's 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time?
It's not yelling for Betty time. It's let's go surprise Betty time.
Oh, God. I'm
opening up this door. And I am...
You know, you really shouldn't just walk in on kids unannounced.
Out of the room. And I am going through the kitchen. And I am going... Oh, she's not here.
And then you turn around, and there she is with a knife.
She's over. Yeah.
Ah!
She wasn't there.
No, I'm in the
bathroom. Ah! She's in there. So, yeah, she's in the bathroom. And I am not going in there. No matter how much you pay me.
Wait, where?
Ben, why are you paying me? What is this happening?
I'm locked. Did you not?
Why is this transaction going on? Yeah, I don't mean why are you paying me. I mean, why in this scenario that I've created are you?
I have. I wasn't even following along. Is she in the bathroom or something?
Yeah.
Hey, Betty. Yeah, yeah. She was in the bathroom.
All right.
Hey, Betty.
That makes
it's
all
yelling
the sense.
For Betty time.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question. Did you eat your chicken strips?
Not all of them.
Wait. What did you do with the ones you didn't eat?
Oh, dang it!
Did you throw them out?
Yes.
Oh no. I'm going to have to eat them from the trash now. You're making your dad eat food from the trash.
You're really going to pull some food out of the garbage can and eat it?
I'm making you die.
Look at, why don't you just save the food for me instead of forcing me to eat it out of the trash?
I'm not.
What kind of a life is this for a grown man?
Dad.
Yes?
Don't subject to this kind of behavior on the podcast.
So, Betty, now let's go over, what do we do when you're done with the food?
I give it to you. I'm sorry.
You give it to me. If I don't want it, I will throw it away. But if I do want it, I'm going to eat it.
I'm sorry.
Is that a house
Dad.
Rule? All food that she doesn't finish goes to you next?
Uh-huh. yes, because I am a frugal person, Ben. And sometimes... thank you very much. Look, Betty gave me a potato chip. Thanks. I'm going to eat this on the podcast because I'm thoughtful. No, I'll eat it after the podcast. Don't worry. So, Betty,
what?
Tell Ben all about the deep fryer, how we came to have it.
How did you come to have a deep fryer?
The store, and I kept pushing him to get it.
Yeah, I said, oh, look, a deep fryer. She's like, we're going to get that deep fryer, aren't we? And I'm like, what? No.
No, you were like, should we?
Oh, okay. Is that so I was the one who brought it up. See, look at that. Look at me trying to pawn off.
Look at my son!
My thing on Betty.
I think you used to have a deep fryer, didn't you? I remember one in the White Center house.
Yes. I had a deep fryer. I also had a dehydrator for a while.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the first things about... one of the first things I ever did at Annex was a pitch for a deep fryer. Do you remember that? Not for a deep fryer, for a dehydrator.
Was that for like an ATF sketch or something?
No. This is just for Annex. I said to Brett Fetzer, I kind of want to do something. It's great. Great. Okay, go ahead.
So like,
and I said
during a company meeting or during Spin the Bottle?
No.
This was one of your performances. You got to eat a piece of cake.
When did I get to eat a piece of cake?
When you got that pie in your face.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't shown her that video.
You're talking about Boo Cake.
Yeah. Has she seen that one?
Apparently she has. I didn't realize that.
Oh God.
But yeah.
Mom's friend's husband was like, okay, we're going to go somewhere else while he's doing that.
Mom's friend's husband. Was that Scott Elliott? Or who are you talking about?
Megan's husband.
Oh, Ron Darling?
Yeah. At least I think it was Megan.
Oh, my.
Yeah, okay. I remember. So, yeah, Ron had to babysit Betty while we filmed that video.
Oh, right. That's right. So Ron was taking care of
it. She hadn't seen the video, but she does remember that we were going to throw cake in your face.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that makes more sense. Oh, I was worried. Okay.
Phew!
Oh, speaking about Betty seeing things that we were kind of going to watch an episode of Rick and Morty, and then Betty's like, no thanks.
Yeah, well, like, we started it. And, like, about halfway through, I was like, nope, not doing this!
When she says about halfway through, she means about 2 minutes in.
Yeah.
She was like, nope.
Not really a show for 11-year-olds, Rick and Morty.
No. Well, yeah. Yeah.
I know what you're saying. Oh, but it gets better! Well, sorry, I'm not gonna do that all up in this biz.
Okay, I think, Betty, I want to say that Ben is totally cool with you not watching.
The people who are the, like, one person maybe who is listening to this.
Well, one of the people listening is your mom, and I think your mom will be fine with it. And I don't think Stephen McCandless will be like, no, Betty should really watch that show. I think all of our listeners are probably pretty pro you having your own fun and making your own decisions as to what to watch.
Yeah, right. Well, Stephen, I'm not watching it.
You heard it here, Stephen. She's not watching it.
You know, and it's also, like, it's a generational thing,
right? How did it even
get
in here?
I remember
what
my parents liking TV shows when I was a kid and just not liking them.
So,
on principle.
Yeah.
That I watched it.
I'm trying to think of stuff that I've watched that was... I saw Ice Pirates when I was younger. And that was weird.
Oh, yeah. And also, like...
I didn't get a lot of it.
Right.
And also, for a brief period of time, I was allowed to watch Robot Chicken.
Oh, yeah. Betty was able to watch the Star Wars Robot Chicken. So I was like, well, let's look at the regular Robot Chicken. And that wasn't a good idea.
No, it's I don't even like Robot Chicken.
Yeah, Jennifer is sometimes put in the position of going, Paul, no.
And she probably has to say that a lot, doesn't she?
Yeah, but she likes it. No.
Yeah. And also the other thing is, and this is an important thing, Jennifer not only notices when something isn't appropriate for Betty, but she also notices when Betty isn't really cool with what she's watching.
Yeah.
Jennifer can read the room,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but still, you know, sometimes when me and Dad watch Twin Peaks, I'm always like, revert your eyes, children!
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm a child, so I revert my eyes.
I think you mean avert your eyes, but revert your eyes is a pretty cool...
Avert my eyes. That's what I meant.
I want to revert my... Actually, I do want to revert my eyes to what they were like when I was a teenager, because I had better eyesight back then.
My eyesight's the best now
All right, because you got augmented.
I got augmented, and it was worth it. I still like it. 44 years old, still working well.
Well, how old were you when you got the LASIK?
Oh, sorry.
I was, I believe, 30... 30, like, 30, 31, somewhere around there.
Oh, okay, so it's been a while.
More than a decade ago!
Yeah.
Is there a lifespan on that kind of thing?
That was a really freaking long time.
Well, it depends on your eyes. I've been doing really well. I love you too, Betty. Hey, speaking about which, that's a nice way to, let's see here.
To end here?
Yeah, Betty said she loves me, Ben. Let's quit while we're ahead. Once again, look at, wait, now she's got a grumpy face. What happened?
You said let's quit while we're ahead.
Oh, well, no, I just meant the podcast. We're at an hour. Wait, what did you think I meant?
I don't know.
Betty, this father-daughter relationship has been good. And time for me to move on.
Exactly. And on that bombshell, I think it's time to go. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Ben.
Keep it raw.
Also, now we have a ton of ice cream.
We have ice cream cones also. So, keep it wrong, people, and check out all the stuff and things.
Alrighty.
Ben has another podcast called, hold on.
Ben's Podcast.
No, it's not called Ben's Podcast. It is called,
it should be called
Perfect Bound Podcast.
Which I...
It is about... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's about comic books, and which we're going to tape tonight. Once I wrap up here, I got to pack up all my gear and head out to the comic book store.
We'll say hi to all the folks. Have you talked about Nameless on that podcast recently?
Maybe. We talk about a lot of comics. I can't keep them
Grant all straight. Grant Morrison, Nameless. Anyhow, I don't know. I'm kind of interested in it, but I don't know what's up.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Betty is being disturbing.
All right. In that case, I think it is time to go. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll be asked to cut that out.
All right. No. She just has she's replaced her nose with a sugar cone, and she's dancing around.
Sounds like something an 11-year-old is allowed to do. 41-year-old, not so much.
What am I doing with my
All right, Ben.
Especially in the courthouse.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, keep it wrong, Paul.
Keep it wrong.
All right.
Yep.
Take care.
All right. So you're eating that without any ice cream in it?
Yeah, because you only live once.
I suppose that's true. Depending on, I don't know, certain religions would disagree with that.